Welcome to that showbiz, baby. Kate, how's your heart? Just kidding. That's something Nick Vile says on his podcast, and I just wanted to be like him, so I copied him just now. I'd like to, at this time, publicly apologize to Kate because we did already record this entire episode, and then the program I was working with, like, did a weird thing, and then it was gone forever. And me and Tala tried so many different things to try to fix it.
On this episode of That's Showbiz, we're gonna dive into body image. So, what is body image? Let's start with a few quotes from Hillary McBride and Salsa herself. And here we go.
What are you doing? What is happening? Why? God, I don't deserve this. Hillary McBride is a researcher, therapist, author, podcast host, and she does a lot of work on embodiment and spiritual trauma. She's written a book called The Wisdom of Your Body. And so she's kind of like the guru for millennials on embodiment. But yeah, take it away, Kate.
Many people do not have to wait for a specific event to remember the centrality of their body. That's because their body is placed outside the cultural hierarchy of the ideal body, and so they learn early on that their body makes them other. The message underneath isms is this: you are less valuable in this society because of your body, because of their inability to leave or transcend or conquer their unruly body. The social context suggests to some that they are nothing more than a body, less than in a world that does not value the inherent goodness of bodies. Embodiment is kind of a re-remembering of who we really are, because what we picked up along the way was disembodiment. But disembodiment is not how we come into the world. It can be unlearned, while embodiment, our birthright, can be remembered. So embodiment is a coming home, a remembering of our wholeness, and a reunion with the fullness of ourselves.
I'm having a really hard time today. But anyways, I wrote a book. No big deal, but I did write a book. I didn't actually write a book. I wrote some of a book, and then I was like, well, don't know what to do with this. This is from a chapter I wrote on sort of embodiment, disembodiment, and trauma and that kind of thing. Okay. I remember what it was like to feel at home in my body. I remember what it was like to not flinch away in fear when I was hugged or given attention. I remember that. The absence of fear, of hatred. My body was loved. I loved her. My body was home. I lived in her. My body was knit together in my mother's womb, knit together by the same God who shut up the sea behind doors, gave orders to the morning, gave birth to the frost of the heavens. He declared my body good. He declared my body safe. Protection and embrace. Hail and farewell. Christ has no body now but yours. I need to reconnect with my body. The whole project is simply this: go back home. Just be home. She reiterates what I keep hearing from various liturgist podcasts, my doula friends, and strangely, the plants in my backyard. Your body will welcome you back with open arms. Your body has been waiting for you. Your body has been working so tirelessly all these years, giving up sleep just to protect you, to watch over you, wanting you to feel safe and warm and loved. You didn't even notice. You scorned and despised it. Christ has no body now but yours.
Is there no one left to break you down?
We were warned not to wear tight clothing because that would be tempting the boys with our bodies. It's in the way boys would discuss girls in terms of looks only. Like our bodies were designed for them, for their possession or pleasure, and only they could deem them good. Christ has no body now but yours. It was drilled into us. Women's bodies are commercial. Women's bodies are for men to use. Women's bodies are unsafe. Women's bodies are feared. Women's bodies are hated. Women's bodies carry the shame of generations. We are weary. We are beleaguered. We have taken on such enormous work. Our bodies are feared, disrespected, untrustworthy. Men's bodies are celebrated, respected, and trusted. We, the women, are a colonized people. We are subjugated, we are dispossessed, and our anger is still homeless.
Is there no one left to break you down?
So, I incorporated this sentence into my writing. Christ has no body but now but yours. So it's an idea that came from Saint Teresa of Avila. Avila. So Saint Teresa was the patron saint, is the patron saint of those who suffer from headaches, migraines, people who are ill, and people who are ridiculed for their religious faith in Spain. So Teresa lived in the 1500s, and during that time she wrote a prayer by that title, like a poem, and a few musicians have since written worship songs under that title. So it's this idea that the divine image is in all bodies. So when you think about all your body has gone through, and particularly if yours is a body that is less celebrated, or if yours is a body that has chronic pain or disability, or if yours is a body that has been traumatized or violated, that those visceral experiences have also been the experience of the divine in you. It's this continuation of the concept of Emmanuel, God with us. God has always been here, and God moves through the world through us, through our incarnational bodies, which have always been good and right and admirable. Every body is deserving and worthy and cherished because every body contains the God that is right here now with us. Even the bodies that are colonized, even the bodies that are lying in hospital beds, even the bodies that have been trafficked, even the bodies dying from starvation, even the bodies that are called fat, even the parts on your own body that you look in the mirror and you think, not good enough. So Hillary McBride kind of adds to this idea with her work. So she has infamously said that all physical trauma is spiritual trauma, and all spiritual trauma is physical trauma. So basically, you are your body. There's not your spiritual self, your soul, and then your body. They're the same thing until death. And then we don't know what happens after death. We haven't got any research on that.
Stay tuned.
Now Kate is gonna share some definitions about body image.
So your body image is how you perceive, think, and feel about your body. This can include attitudes and perceptions about your body size, shape, weight, or individual body parts. It is both the mental picture you have for yourself and how you perceive yourself when you look in the mirror. When a person has a positive body image, they feel comfortable in their body and they have a healthy relationship with how their body looks and feels. When a person has a negative body image, they feel uncomfortable in their body. Guilty. They may also have body dysmorphia, where they think that something in their body is larger or smaller than it actually is. For example, a person with an eating disorder might look in the mirror and see themselves as overweight when they're not. Trans people see themselves as the opposite gender that they were born with, so their mental image is opposite what they see when they look in the mirror, which can be very jarring and upsetting. A big part of why trans people suffer with mental health issues and positive body image. Body image for a transgender person can improve over time as a person makes choices about how they express their gender outwardly. Some people may experience improvements as they make and follow up on choices about transition, such as opting for medical or surgical intervention. Having a positive body image includes accepting and appreciating one's body, having a broad concept of beauty, taking steps to care for one's body and appearance in ways that feel healthy and fulfilling, striving for a good relationship with your body, independent of outside influences or societal messages. Negative body image does not develop in isolation. The earliest messages we receive about our bodies come from our early holding environments and primary caretakers. So if you think about your primary caretaker's body image, that often gets translated to you as a child. Through invisible, intangible ways, even if your primary caretaker might not take you aside and tell you specifically, this is how I feel about my body, you may have picked up on it and subconsciously explained to yourself, well, and this is how my primary attachment feels about their body, maybe this is the way I should feel about my body too.
It is also true that certain types of bodies receive negative attention and certain types of bodies receive positive attention. Skinny, white bodies receive positive attention. Everyone else, you're fucked.
Bodies that experience PTSD, discrimination, and harassment more frequently than others are the LGBTQIA+, especially trans, plus size, people of color, physical disabilities. According to studies of children and adolescents, 35 to 81% of girls feel dissatisfied in their bodies. Among boys, it's 16 to 55% feel this way. This means body dissatisfaction is somewhat more frequent among girls, but it is also common for boys.
Fat phobia is the pathologization and discrimination of fat bodies. It's a belief that fat is bad and unhealthy and causes weight problems, that it looks bad, and that everybody should lose weight, and those who don't are lazy and have no self-control. So for a better overview of this topic and a deconstruction for all the different ways fat phobia presents in society, head on over to the Maintenance Phase podcast and have a listen. I would say Aubrey Gordon is one of the voices to listen to on this subject. I only know like 8% of what Aubrey knows, and she's more funny and better well-spoken than me.
She more better spoken than me.
me talk pretty one day. So The Whale is a movie that came out recently. Shortly after its release, the director, Darren Aronofsky, found himself in the middle of controversy, with many saying that the film misrepresented the real struggles of obese people. So the film chronologizes the struggles of the main character, who loses a loved one earlier in the film and then basically turns to food for comfort. He eventually becomes so fat that he can't leave the house. He's estranged from his ex-wife and daughter and is essentially eating himself to death. So I went to go see it in theaters and I was absolutely horrified by the self-congratulatory feel of it. This was not a film for or about fat people. This was a film about skinny people and how they want to feel good for noticing that fat people exist. And they want to feel good about feeling pity for fat people. It's also a film for everyone who claims to show quote-unquote concern for fat people by claiming that it's a health concern. I think it was also a film to scare people into remaining or trying to become skinny. And I was personally shocked by the amount of acclaim it received. Even the people I was with at the time said it was like a good movie, although I objectively felt it was a horrible movie. I was like, no, just no. So American writer and comedian Lindy West did a takedown of The Whale in a piece she wrote for The Guardian, which everyone should read. So Google Lindy West, The Guardian, The Whale, but here are a few choice quotes from that article. People respond positively to The Whale because it confirms their biases about what fat people are like, gross, sad, and why fat people are fat, trauma, munchies, and allows them to feel benevolent yet superior. After watching The Whale, observing its reverent reception at the Venice Film Festival and beyond, and following Aronofsky's ongoing press tour in which he repeatedly insists that his film is in service to fat people, generously humanizing us, I have to say, wow, haha, okay, no. I'm supposed to say what? Thank you? For this? Representation matters? I'd rather slap 4 pieces of pizza together in a big stack, dip it in grape jelly, and cram it down my pelican gullet, while the score screeches a down market Carmina Burana until I drop dead. That's what I was planning to do tonight anyway. Obviously, this wasn't the first movie I'd seen about people being fat because they're sad. But I also know that it probably won't be the last. I'd like to see, personally, I would like to see more movies where the fat person is just, like, doing normal things and living, like, a normal life. That would be great for me. Show us fat joy. Show us a fat person who eats normally. They aren't starving themselves to death, and they also just aren't eating KFC for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. People are more complex and nuanced than just the amount of calories they consume in one day. It doesn't make sense to just focus on that one facet of someone's existence and then say, wow, they're so brave, or wow, they're so inspiring, or wow, they're so sad. Calorie intake isn't what makes a person brave or inspiring or sad. And now we're gonna talk about our feelings about our bodies together. Oh, no. Kate, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. What were the first positive messages you received about your body, and how old were you?
Like, I know, like, when you're a little girl and people are like, oh, you're so pretty, usually when you're wearing a dress and your hair is done nicely. And I mean, I was always tall, so I would say that was always the first thing was, oh, you're so tall. But I was a dancer when I was young too. And so I think there was like this, like, oh, you're elegant and whatnot. I don't know. Weird shit, okay? All of it's weird.
She's a lady.
But I'm a lady. But yeah, like, I feel like that would have been around, like, 6, 7. What about you?
Well, first of all, I think I really wanted to believe that I was, like, a fast runner when I was a kid. Because I think the most positive message you can receive about your body when you're a kid is that, like, wow, you're so fast. Children just love to think that they're, like, the fastest runner in every universe. So probably anything, like, fast, strong, pretty, but I was always confused and slightly repulsed when people told me that I was pretty, and TBH, I still am, because I didn't really know what that word meant to them. So I think even at 5 years of age, I was like, wow, thanks for the absolutely useless compliment, you crusty hoe. So I do remember receiving approval for being skinny, but I think I was also like, sure, like, okay, that's like one thing we could say. Like, to me, being skinny wasn't anything that I had done or accomplished. I was like, look, you guys, I just woke up like this. And like, and I was aware that being skinny could change at any time. It like seemed too subjective. And then as I got older, I was like, can we, like, wow, no thank you. Can we not compliment people for being skinny anymore?
Yeah, like, I definitely, actually, okay, as you were saying that, I remember specifically my grandma. She would always comment on how slim I was.
Yeah.
And, like, slim meant beautiful.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you start not being slim anymore, that meant that you weren't beautiful anymore.
Yeah. It becomes like, oh, so in order to be beautiful, I have to be skinny. In order to be beautiful, I have to be wearing a dress. In order to be beautiful, I have to do, like, XYZ thing. It becomes transactional, the thing that you receive when you complete a number of steps in the right order. What were the first negative messages you received about your body, and where did they come from?
I know this kind of plays into, like, attitude and personality of a child, too, but, like, I was more tomboy-esque. So when I would do things that weren't ladylike, then it was commented on. So it does kind of play into your body, because it's how you're moving your body and how you're acting. But I don't remember specifics. I just know, like, I'd be told sometimes, like, that's not ladylike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did get that a lot. And I was like, who's lady?
Yeah. Or, like, yeah, you're supposed to, like, sit a certain way. And
oh, yeah. I did man spread a lot as a child.
Yeah, me too. I still do.
I'm like, I'm happiest when I'm able to just
take up as much space.
Yeah, let me sprawl all over everything.
Listen, I got a huge dong. It needs space.
My dick is huge. You guys don't understand what it's like for me, okay?
You don't know what it's like
to be the strong man.
But yeah, other than that, I would say it was a while before, like, when I started being more rambunctious and I'd have like scars on my body, or when I did start getting tattoos or piercings, those were like very negatively looked at. So then my body image was looked at differently and commented on differently with a much more negative tone.
Firstly, in like the third grade, there was this other kid and we got along and stuff, but he was like a lot taller than me. His name was Sven. Anyways, one day he literally tripped over me because he like, I was so much shorter than him that he just didn't see me. And he got like weirdly frustrated and was like, Megan, why can't you just grow up? And he meant
like literally.
Literally grow up so that he could see me when he was walking. I remember one time we were on a summer vacation and I was eating vanilla yogurt and my dad was like, you keep eating like that, you're gonna be as big as a house. And I was like, oh, okay. I think my parents were always like worried / confused about how passionate I was about the food that I liked and disliked.
# autism.
Yeah. Literally. And my mom's family has always been very fat phobic, which is kind of funny to me because, like, none of y'all are skinny. Like, my mom's side of the family, we are farm stock. Like, my grandma, for example, she was, like, very clearly, like, a solid woman, you know? And it's good for her that she was because she lived on a farm. But they never once said to, like, Martin or Kevin, you better watch what you eat. You don't want to get fat. Kevin, I think, has the metabolism of 10 hummingbirds. I don't think Kevin will ever be fat, no matter what he does. But Martin's, he's just, like, normal. He's just, like, a normal guy. And then I also received the message that the ideal body is to be, like, cis, obviously, and then small and white and strong. And then when I got older, it was like, you need to quit having chronic pain.
Well, death.
And stop being so allergic to everything all the time. So, like, when I go on dating sites and I'm getting to know somebody, they'll inevitably, like, bring up, like, I love going to concerts. Mm. I like going camping. I love going on adventures. And I'm like,
oh. Sounds great for you.
Yeah, it's like, I'm so tired all the time. I can do very abbreviated versions of those things. My roommates have recently been bringing up the idea of a walking aid for me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that feels too much like phoning it in. Like, I don't know if I can go that far yet. But Britt's like obsessed with it. They're always like, you know, it'd be great, a walking aid. And then you could do so many more things. And I'm like, I'm too young.
What if you just get one of those, like, walking sticks that you can, like, click a button and it has, like, a little seat that, like, pops out?
That's not real.
Yeah.
Show me. I do have these health issues, and there is a stigma attached to it, and then, which I found out about when I developed those health issues, and then I was like, oh, this isn't very pleasant. So as far as disclosing to people, I usually don't tell anybody until, like, I have to.
Yeah.
Until we're going somewhere together, and I'm like, guess what?
Surprise!
What did the church teach you about your body? What did the church, or, like, embodiment stuff?
What it taught me was, like, kind of my body was wrong.
Yeah.
Or not evil, but, like, a temptation. There we go.
Yeah.
And so from the get-go, you better cover up and be appropriate and watch how you move. Make sure things don't shake. Basically, yeah, so my body was wrong. And it's also gonna be owned one day by my husband.
Ew.
Like, that's kind of the idea, right?
No.
And also, I think there's just, like, this attitude of to upkeep, like, prettiness and femininity and soft and, you know, what a woman's supposed to be.
What a woman's supposed to be. Yeah, I have a list here. Don't be too sexual with your body. Don't be too aware of your body.
Whoa, what's this?
Don't state your body's needs too loudly.
Yeah.
They never broke me of that habit. I still do. I have cramps because of the blood. Purity and innocence was sort of equated with asexuality, or like not really having a body. Being physical was seen as like the ways of the world. We're supposed to be in the world, not of the world.
Yeah.
Don't be too connected with your body and don't give it what it wants.
Food.
Yeah. My body just often really wants cake. So that's where we're at. And so Sarah Bessie, she wrote a book called Jesus Feminist back in the day, and I still follow her on Instagram. And her mantra, she shared on Instagram that her mantra lately for her body is nourish, don't deprive or punish. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yes, new personal motto.
It's hard, though.
That is very difficult to do. Have you ever experienced body dysmorphia?
Yes. Every day.
Tell me more.
I think my biggest thing is I have a severe disconnect between, like if people give me a compliment on my body, mm-hmm. I'm just like, okay, that's great. Like, that's a body. I don't recognize it that it's my body.
Yeah.
But then also I feel that I am at least 200 pounds more than I am. So even when I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh no. Oh no.
Yeah.
And I just like, not that there's anything wrong. I can't see my body actually what it is. And any positive thing said towards me, it's like somebody saying that to somebody, but it's not me.
Oh, yeah. I think I often, in my mind, I'm either skinnier or fatter than I actually am. Mm-hmm. When I look in the mirror, I'm like, wow, I'm fatter than I thought I was today. Or I'm skinnier than I thought I was today. But it's never matches.
Mm, yeah.
Can we get a matching pair, please? I think I'm lucky that I do like how my face looks. Like, whenever I look in the mirror, I'm like, yeah, that checks out. What sort of messages do you receive about your body nowadays?
Honestly, most people say nice things. Whether or not that they're jealous that I'm tall, or that I'm curvy.
Curvy.
Or that I'm strong, or whatever. And it weirds me out every time, and I don't know how to accept a compliment.
Yeah. I've been practicing in front of the mirror.
What do you
Thank you for the compliment. The weird look. It's the eye contact, yeah, for me. Do you receive any negative messages about your body nowadays?
Just from myself, I think.
Yeah. I think
And those somehow those overpower every positive thing.
Yeah.
But
I think my mom does occasionally be like, we are too fat. We need to go on. I'm like, don't invite me to this.
Don't include me.
Like, we're all stocked up here. Thanks, Gail. I tell people that I go on dates with, like, even before we go on a date, I'm like, look, pal, friend. Can I call you friend? I will not be receiving any negative feedback about my body. So if you don't like the way I look, just move on with your life. Okay. You know, tell me it's my personality, okay?
I guess, you know what? I do get negative comments about tattoos.
From who?
Usually old people.
Oh, I was going to say potential employers? Like, what are we talking about here?
I have had that before, too. Just like, oh, well, if you're going to work here, then you would need to dress this way. I'm very much just implying that, like, all my tattoos need to be covered. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm not wearing a turtleneck, so, and gloves. But yeah, no, it's a lot of older people just being like, oh,
imagine if you did.
Show up. Imagine it.
Just people would be like, are you in mourning? No, I just have a lot of tattoos.
Oh, fuck, I have face tattoos now, too. I have to wear a mask.
Oh, you gotta use makeup. Do the cover. Well, no, that's too much work. We can't work here anymore.
But yeah, old people, I love them because they have no filter and they just say and do what they want.
I can't wait till I get to that phase of my life. Oh, wait.
You're already there.
I've arrived.
But yeah, I do think it's funny because I'm like, I've obviously put the time, the thought, the money into selecting my tattoos and getting what I want. And I was like, I'm very aware I will age and my body will change. So it's like, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish by saying something negative about my tattoos, but here we are.
And here we are. I think I would just like it if people would stick to vague, non-descriptive compliments. Like, as I've gotten older, I have started to receive more positive compliments, and I'm just like,
what?
I'm like, can I help you? Like, you seem to be in the wrong area of town. You're looking for love in all the wrong places. This person wants something from me. I don't really receive any negative commentary besides the one that's in my head. So I think people are more conscious of that.
Yeah, the more selective we are too with the people we give our time to.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, these are my people, so why would they say something negative?
People, including myself, are often surprised when my body can't do the things that you would expect, like, a body in the late 30s to be able to do. Like, why can't you go on a hike? Why can't you go anywhere that's not your room? And stuff like that. So I do often get the message that people forget about my limitations, or they think I'm exaggerating on what I can or can't do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, that's this is really happening right now. How would you describe your relationship with your body nowadays?
It's funny because looking back, I would say I'm a much better place, but my brain still really sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to be thankful and love my body for everything it can do rather than looking at all the camps. But at the same time, I do really struggle with social media and pinning myself against other people and what I wish I looked like. All those things. But as a whole, I would say it's better. And it's something I'm more aware of now and trying to be kinder about. So
I've done this thing where I've shifted from, like, negative self-talk to neutral self-talk. So instead of being like, oh, like, my whatever, fill in the blank. My hand looks swollen today. It's just like, I switch from that to, I have hands.
I like that, though.
I have a really hard time accepting my weight, but I don't know that I ever really had much of a shot in that department because it was, like, drilled into me that, like, fat's bad, fat's unhealthy, no one's going to want to be around you if you're fat. I think that, like, I feel like Gen Z is, like, luckier in that regard because they weren't raised that way.
No.
Yeah. I agree. And so.
Because, like, I remember the day I hit 200 pounds.
Yeah.
I was, like, I don't know, 17 or something. And I thought my world was ending.
Yeah.
I am much more than that now. And I was, like, most women I talk to that are, like, over 5'8 or over 200 pounds. Like, it's just kind of this normal. And I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. When did this happen? I'm like, but you look fine in your body. And then I'm like, oh, wait, maybe I actually look fine in my body, too.
My butt also really bugs me. I'm off, like,
I'll give you some.
Thank you. That would be great for me. If you could do that. Well, no, so I'm, like, asymmetrical. So I'm noticeably, one of my cheeks is noticeably larger than the other. Yeah, they're so flat. It just goes from, like, my hip to my leg. And you don't really notice any difference. So I have really just bought into this idea of being delusionally sexy. JVN does these, like, regular self-motivating things on his Instagram where he's like, you're a hot slut who's in tune with her healing. And I'm like,
I am.
Thank you, JVN. So I think it's also a pride thing. Like, I don't want anyone to think I'm weak or vulnerable enough to think that some man's philosophy on what a woman should look like got to me. I'm like, I don't care what you think. Even though I do. I just also think dieting is so boring. Like, can we talk about literally anything else?
Yeah. The whole idea, too, that, like, here's a diet. It's gonna work for everybody.
Yeah, no.
I hate that. And I'm like, where's the joy of food? Where's just, the fact that my body's different than your body. We move different. Like,
genetics?
Yeah.
Genetics? Like, how do you practice body gratitude?
Well, what? When I'm doing well, I will, like, I put my hands on my body and, like, thank my body for whatever part.
Thank you, body.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank you for, like, functioning and working and, like, getting me out of bed and moving and all those things. But as a whole, I'm probably not very good.
Yeah. I think in particular, thinking my vagina has been a key part of my healing journey.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that a lot, actually.
I mean, guys talk about their penises all the time and how they look and different things and so.
Yeah.
So I just do it, make it a mental exercise to take the time to say, hey, you know, you did a great job out there today. I really appreciate you. You really gave 110%. Or, hey, thanks for being self-cleaning. Like, it's so cool that you can just do that. It's like an oven. I think also with chronic fatigue and disability, you have a lot of days where it feels like your body is falling apart, like it's working against you.
Yes.
And so I do think it's key to say, hey, thanks for taking care of me today, even though it feels like you did not take care of me today.
Yeah.
So the same arms and legs that experience chronic pain, muscle aches, and fatigue are the same arms and legs that carry me everywhere, that hug my loved ones, or prepare a meal, or slap someone if they're being rude, or whatever. And it's like, if you're just mad at your body all the time, and you're always thinking, this isn't gonna happen, it just adds to your tiredness, because your body's like, well, this is what I get for trying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of being like, you dumbass, get it together. Thanks for listening. You can catch us at showbizbabypodcast@gmail.com or at showbizpod on Instagram. Please like, rate, and subscribe to our podcast so that we can continue to re-record episodes that we accidentally delete. And that's showbiz, baby.